from Agri-Food Canada, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay,
please. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So this talk has been prepared by my colleague, Doug McDonald. The other co-authors are Martin Chantigny, Denis Anger, Isabelle Royer from Ag Canada and Quebec City, and Marc-Olivier Gasser from the Provincial Research Institute in Quebec City. The problem, yeah. Because of the length of the growing season, because of the pattern and the dynamics of the root system, the perennial grasses tend to increase organic matter. Also because they are part of a livestock system, they frequently, actually very often annually, receive animal waste. So they usually have and have built in the soil large tract of carbon and nutrients. In addition, usually these kind of soils, the forage and grassland, are more likely to be found on marginal soils that can be imperfectly drained. What I'm presenting today is part of a larger study that is aiming at seeing the dynamics of the carbon and nutrients in a poorly drained field, when it is renewed and converted to annual crops. It's dealing with trace metals, phosphorus, carbon, nitrogen, methane, CO2, and today I'm going to report the results on N2O. So our objective is to assess the impact of moreward plowing on N2O emissions during renewal of a poorly drained forage land. I guess if I would have formulated an hypothesis here, it would have been that by plowing the soil, by mixing the residues in the soil, by the soil disturbance associated with the tillage, that the organic matter would have been decomposition would be accelerated, the flow of nutrients would be greater, the processes leading to the production of N2O would be enhanced, and N2O emissions would be greater in soils that has been tilled compared to another one that has been left as a chemical fallow. So the experiment was performed in Quebec City or near Quebec City on an imperfectly drained silty clay loam under perennial grasses. We applied the treatments on two adjacent long-term plots that have been under grassland for at least 30 years. And since 1978, they had received different loads of liquid swine manure. One has been fertilized annually with a rate of 100 ton of manure per hectare, and the other one was left unfertilized. Those two plots were separated approximately by about 15 meters. We had four tillage treatments. Those treatments were first a control plot in which the perennial grass was left untouched, so it was a green control. The second treatment was what we can call a chemical fallow, what we call here an herbicide undisturbed, in which the herbicide was applied in August 2007, and then the plot was left untouched until the end of the experiment in November 2008. The third tillage treatment was what we call a full inversion tillage. It was a marbled plot performed in the fall of 2007. And then finally, the other treatment was a spring marbled plot or a spring full inversion tillage done in May of 2008. The measuring period, the N2O and also the ancillary measurements were made between the time of the autumn moreboard plow, so September 2007 until November 2008. And it's important to say that all plots except the green control were left in fallow during the 2008. So there was no crop planted during 2008. The measurements that were made, where there was mineral N with extraction with 2 molar KCl. The liquid phase is salt solution with tension lysimeters at 2 depths. We measured the gas fluxes at the surface using non-flow through chambers, and we also sampled the soil atmosphere in the soil profile. We had the met station for the air parameters. We also monitored soil humidity and temperature at different depths. And we sampled pretty much weekly from September 2007 until end of October 2008. So if we look now at the results, those are the emissions of N2O. The top two frames are showing the emissions, so the rate of emission of N2O in the two plots, the one that was unfertilized, the LSM0 here, and the fertilized, the LSM100. And the bottom two frames, again, for the two fertilization plots, showing the cumulative emissions during the experiment. So the cumulative in the autumn of 2007 and the cumulative emissions during 2008. The symbols here, we have the blue squares for the control plots and the triangles pointing up for the herbicide undisturbed or the chemical fallow. For the moorboard plot treatments, we had the autumn plow is the red circles, and the spring plow are the triangles pointing down. We also showed here the cumulative emissions during the full year, so autumn 2007 plus the emissions in 2008 in kilograms of N2ON per hectare. So what we see first is our very low emissions in the green control, in the unkilled plots. And this is very typical of perennial grasses. They have a fairly tight N cycle, so that there's usually very little residual N in the soil that is available to feed processes that lead to N2O production and emission. However, on the till plots, and not even the till plots, but the plots that we renewed the perennial grass, the emissions were very high, up to actually 30 kilograms of N2ON per hectare during that year. Typically, the N2 emissions are in the range of about 2 to 3 kilograms of N per hectare per year. So we're talking about fluxes, or cumulative fluxes, approximately one order of magnitude greater than what would we observe normally in an agricultural field. So really, we created, by killing this biomass, a situation that is very favorable for N2O production and emission. So if we try to look where those emissions occur during, these emissions occur during the experiment, if we look on the unfertilized plot, emissions were very low in the fall of 2007, low again in the spring of 2008. Conditions were fairly dry in May 2008 in Quebec City, but very wet in the summer, in June and July. Actually, we had the record rainfall in June 2008, 245, I believe, millimeters during that month, and above normal precip in July as well. So very wet conditions there. We suggest that the emissions were due to the nitrification, and a big burst of emissions during those 2 months, followed by lower emissions towards the end of the year. If we compare now in the fertilized plot, the one that had received liquid manure for 30 years before the experiment annually, the emissions were similar in terms of temporal pattern in the summertime, maybe higher peaks here for the chemical fallow, but a reasonably similar trend in 2008. What is actually striking is a difference in the autumn of 2007, when the emissions were much higher in the long-term fertilized plot than the unfertilized plot. So clearly, the action of adding liquid hog manure for 30 years annually on this plot resulted in a situation that favored emissions shortly after killing the forage field, but something that did not carry over in the second year. So as a result of these differences in 2007, the emissions were about 40% greater in the long-term fertilized and the under-fertilized plot. Now, if we compare now the undisturbed the herbicide on this undisturbed plot, the chemical fallow, with the full inversion tillage, the plots that's been plowed, the emissions were almost double on the chemical fallow as opposed to the till plot. So this is really counter our expectations because, again, as I said before, if we had given an hypothesis, it would have been that the tillage would have stimulated the decomposition of the organic matter, increased the flow of nutrients, and increased the N2 emission. So we'll try to see if we can explain those results using the ancillary measurements that we made in the soil at the same time as the fluxes. So if we look at the mineral N, the sum of the nitrate and ammonium N in the soil, here at the top you have the unfertilized plot and the fertilized plot here during the experiment. What we see clearly is that the soil mineral N, shortly after renewal of the perennial grass, was more higher in the long-term fertilized and the unfertilized plot. In addition, most of the mineral N was in ammonium form in the unfertilized and in nitrate form in the fertilized. So that the substrate was there in greater quantity in the long-term fertilized to sustain the nitrification and N2O production. So there we have a possible explanation for the higher emissions in the fall of 2007 on the fertilized compared to the unfertilized plot. However, when we try to look for an explanation in the soil mineral N for the differences between the chemical fallow and the plots, we couldn't find one because the highest, for example, in 2008, the plots with the highest soil mineral N content were the spring tillage plots that were not showing higher N2 emissions during that period. So I would conclude here to say that differences in soil mineral N alone could not explain the difference in N2 emissions between chemical fallow and plots. So we look further in the other ancillary measurements that we had made on those plots during the experiment, and we established relationship between N2O and oxygen and nitrate content in the soil solution, so the one that we had obtained by sampling the soil solution at depth. So what we see is that in the chemical fallow, the herbicide undisturbed plots, that the N2O increased with decreasing O2 and increasing nitrate. So this is very consistent with the nitrification. You've got a more anaerobic environment, more substrate in terms of nitrogen substrate to sustain the reaction, greater emissions. That's nice. We saw the same trend with the nitrate in the autumn and spring plots, except that to our surprise, what we saw is that the emissions tend actually to decrease with decreasing O2 content. So in contrary to what we observe on the chemical fallow plots and also what would be explaining a greater than nitrification and greater emissions. So how do we explain this apparently contradictory result? Well, we propose that the differential response of N2O to oxygen in the chemical fallow and the plot plus suggests that in the chemical fallow, where we leave the residue near the soil surface, the N2O production would occur closer to the soil surface when mineralized nitrate moved down after rainfall events and was reduced in more anaerobic zones just below the soil surface. Whereas in the moldboard plots, the efficiency of the nitrification process would be increased by placing substrate deeper in the soil profile where conditions are more anaerobic. So we explained that because of the conditions, the soil water content and the oxygen level during the periods where N2O was emitted, that denitrification is likely the most important source, but that the emissions would be greater in the chemical fallow because the reaction occurs closer to the soil surface in a soil layer where there's less chance for the N2O produced to be reduced to N2 before it escapes at the soil surface. So in conclusions, when in all plots, N2O occur during periods of restricted aeration, so we believe that the source is the nitrification. We suspect that placing carbon and nitrogen at depth with inversion tillage of imperfectly drained forage fields favor complete denitrification. So instead of having part of the nitrate end that has been reduced being emitted as N2O, more of it actually goes completely to N2 and is emitted as this gas. In the chemical fellow, retain the nitrification macrocytes closer to the soil surface, thereby favoring higher N2 emissions, so lower reduction of N2O to N2. Finally, the final conclusion is that the full inversion tillage, therefore, in some situation, can reduce N2 emissions during the renewing of imperfectly drained forage soils. Thank you. Yes, we did. We had this thing. It was it varied, of course, during the experiment. It was relatively deep, or relatively, because it's a poorly drained site in the fall and spring. But it came pretty close to the surface in the summer of 2008.
Yeah.
No, not in this thing. No. But clearly, this had an influence on the final product of the nitrification in the this thing. Yeah.
Roughly how deep?
20 centimeters was the depth of the moreboard plow.
And the water table fluctuated?
Yes, it did reach that level, yeah.
Anaerobic conditions?
Yes. Yes. We did on the on the soil samples that we took periodically, but
did you cause a change in pH?
I couldn't tell. I'm sorry. Yes.
Was there any significant difference between the treatments in nitrous oxide emission? Because I didn't notice standard deviation in your figure.
So you're asking if there was a difference between emissions? Between treatments?
Yes.
Yeah, there was a difference between the chemical fellow and the moreboard plow, but actually double in chemical fellow as compared to the plow treatments. But there was no difference between there was no difference on the unfertilized plot between spring and fall plowing. But there was a difference on the fertilizer because, as you remember, there was a much increase in emissions in the autumn of 2007 on the fertilizer compared to the unfertilized, so that the autumn plow, actually, there was almost 9 kilograms of N2ON emitted during the fall of 2007. So that resulted in a big difference between the two on the fertilized plot. So if I understand, Tom, what you're saying is that we would see less nitrate at that depth, or?
That's what I would have suspected if a greater amount of denitrification is actually occurring there.
Well, actually, we're not saying there's less denitrification. We're saying that the final product may be different. Like the ratio of N2O to N2 may differ. Yeah.
The total rate is the same,
Yes. But it was not the case. As the there was still a significant amount of nitrate in the soil solution. Yeah.
One more question.
Do you have any indication of the ratio, the fraction of the identification that is nitrous oxide in those conditions?
It's very, very difficult. I don't think there's a possibility to do that without using N15 substrates. Oh boy! You don't want to know. it's just a pure guess, I guess. Well, in the very, very anaerobic conditions, you know, where the waterlogged conditions, I think it's safe to say that most of the denitrified reduced nitrate goes to N2. When conditions are not so clear, I mean, it depends on the pH, it depends on the nitrate content, depends on the carbon availability, oxygen, of course. It's very complex.
Thank you.